Hey everybody, welcome to the show. I am, of course, your host, Josh Peck, and joining me today is my lovely, beautiful, very pregnant wife, Christina Peck, which you can see over there. She's actually going to be taking our first question today, but before we get to that, I have to introduce our amazing guest today. So, Kevin Sorbo is probably best known for his roles on the popular television shows Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, and Andromeda, but in recent years, he has been very outspoken about his faith in God and how incredibly important it is to protect the most innocent and helpless among us, the unborn children. Kevin, it is our honor to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Christina, go ahead. You can take the first question.
What are some of the best pro-life arguments that you have heard or have used?
Well, to me, it's a life. I mean, 20 at 22 days is a heartbeat, right? Most people don't find out they're pregnant until when? Into the second month, maybe they miss a period or two. I don't know. I'm not a woman. You're pregnant with another child as well, right? So
yes.
Is this what number is this going to be?
This is going to be number 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm excited to lose all of my hair shortly.
We have 3. We wish we had more, but we decided to stop at 3, and I regret that now. I'm too old to start again now, but. When I became more of this, doing a lot more speaking events on pro-life and getting more history on it and getting more looks at what goes on and what goes on with international abortion. I mean, it's like a horror movie when you think of the limbs being cut off, the head being crushed, vacuumed out of the body. I mean, what we need to do, and I hate to say this, but we need to find a woman that is hell-bent on getting the abortion and get in there and record it, actually record it. We know we've got cameras in there, microphones in there, and show all these pro-choice people what really is happening. And I guarantee you many people have changed their mind. And when 80% of 100% of women who want to have an abortion, when they get that sonogram and they hear the heartbeat, 80% of women now change their minds because they realize, okay, this may be my body, but it's not the body that's inside my body. That's something else. That's another heartbeat, another blood type, possibly a male body, not a female body. So it says right there that, okay, you're a female, but you're giving birth to a male. So I think there's so many arguments to sit there and point to the fact that it's so ridiculous, the anger, as I said, and the hatred that comes out from the people on the left. And I've even got conservative friends that are going, I think it's up to the woman. So, I mean, it happens on both sides, but mostly, of course, it happens on the left, which is getting more and more crazy. And I've said this before, there were a group of people 70 years ago that decided which lives were great, which lives were not necessary, and they were called the Nazis. And pretty much where we are coming in our country right now, it's unbelievable and mind-boggling to me that this is going on.
Yeah, us too. It's horrific, and I couldn't agree with you more on that. Have you heard any pro-choice arguments that, you know, maybe didn't convince you, but maybe made you think that they might have a point in certain regards, or what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, if the mother's life is in danger, or if it's rape is involved, you sit there and it makes you think about it twice. If God forbid my daughter or any daughter of family friends that I know was raped and became pregnant, I understand that issue coming up, and that's something to talk about, but it's still a life, I know. So there's argument both ways there. But let's face it, that's less than 1 or 2% of abortions that are out there. Let's look at the majority of abortions. Most people out there, 98% of them get abortions, are using it as a birth control method. Well, then try birth control before you have sex.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, in those 1% of cases, I would say put the rapist to death, not the baby.
Yeah,
that's exactly my feelings on that too. Because as somebody who has been assaulted, luckily, I did not end up pregnant, but I would feel the same way. You know, if I physically or mentally had the question of if I could look at this child and love him or her. Then I would give it up for adoption, honestly. And I would, you know, and I still feel the same way about my, the one who assaulted me.
Sure.
You know, he deserves worse. He deserves far worse than any innocent child, because it's not the child's fault. And so is this, do you see this as a a woman's right issue, as they call it, or more of a human right issue with the baby in question?
Well, I think it's a human right. It's a human. I mean, it's a living person inside there. That's, I mean, if you look at the amount of, you know, the numbers are all over the place. I mean, 60 and 70 million just since Roe v. Wade alone. And you're not taking into account the number of children that would have been born from those unborn babies. Because since 73, it's what? We're looking at over 40 years here, okay? We're looking at 46, 7 years now. So those first abortions, they would have kids of their own right now. And their kids could possibly have kids that are in their 20s. So it multiplies itself. And we're getting rid of lives that we have no idea the wonderful things they could have done. Is everyone going to become the next Michael Jordan? No. But somebody would have become. Is somebody become a doctor that cures? Are all going to become doctors that cure cancer? No. But there might have been a couple that did. So you don't know the lives that we have snuffed out. And I would venture to say that the vast majority of them would have been probably very good people and very good people and citizens of America.
I totally agree. You know, it's interesting to note that when it comes to the immigrant crisis, you know, they'll say that, well, they're all good people, you know, they'll assume innocence on part of that. But when it comes to the abortion issue, well, we could have got rid of the next Hitler. You don't know. You know, they'll take a pessimistic view in that case. You know, it's interesting how they shift their sides over to suit their own needs. I mean, recently we saw this media storm around the Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, who, you know, because apparently an apparent racist photo came up, but only days before that, he was promoting active infanticide. You know, this goes beyond abortion, but no media coverage. Everybody was silent, you know, just yawns all around. You got a lot of media coverage on the right, but on the left, it was like, it was crickets. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting that we've got to go back 30, 40, 50 years now in people's lives to find something they did. And we've all done stupid things in our lives. So, you know, we all make mistakes, and that's what forgiveness is supposed to be about. Do I think it's wonderful what he did? No. But, I mean, I'm sure at the time it was just meant in fun and joke. But I get how people get upset about that because it's always been a hot topic, and it's become a hotter topic through the decades. But it's weird to me that here's what I think. I think the Democrats were so – most of them were so appalled by what this guy said, even take it one step further than Cuomo did, that they said, look, we got to find a way to get rid of this guy. I think his own party leaked that out to get rid of him.
I agree.
We got somebody like Schumer who is a pretty low-class dude himself to come out and say, oh, I think the governor should now retire. Well, you know that they had something to do with this. They don't want to deal with that right now. Maybe in a couple of years from now, 5 years, 10 years from now, they'll make that normal as well, like I talked about earlier. But I think right now his own he wanted to find a way to expel him. And I think everybody in the government has so much crap on everybody else. That's why they've always got to walk this fine line. Otherwise, this stuff will come out with some tape on Pelosi or Schumer or Feinstein, but they have so much stuff on other people and say, look, if I go down, you're going down with me. Here's the thing I want, and I talk this all the time, term limits. If the president of America only gets 8 years max, nobody gets more than 8 years. There's 40, 50-year careers as Congress people and senators and whatever else. Get rid of that. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's not the way our founding fathers set it up. They wanted doctors. They wanted teachers, farmers. That's who they wanted to be in there at the White House. And then they would go back to their, after they pass whatever laws they pass, they got to go back to their states and their hometowns to see what they've created under their in their constituencies. It's unbelievable that these guys make all they care about is power. It just comes down to power. They don't care about individuals. I mean, look at Pelosi. She wanted, and Donald Trump grounded her and made her not fly overseas. She was going to bring like 90 family members with her. And who pays for that? You and I pay for that. I mean, they're living off our tax dollars. They create mostly nothing. They create chaos. Government did not make this country great. Big government did not. It was individuals. Capitalism is what made America great. And you got these wacky people now, than this, what's her name from New York, that sits there and says that it's unfair for people to get the money and make the money that they make and have the careers make. Everybody's the same. Well, we're not the same. You know, I'll never be as good a golfer as Tiger Woods. I wish I was, but, you know, Give everybody, when they play in the Masters, give everybody a green jacket and $1 million. Because the other golfers, they feel really bad, you know, when they don't get a chance to win. So, you know, competition is a good thing. These participation trophies are absolutely ridiculous. All we're doing is turning our country into a bunch of little pussies. All these guys, we're just making people afraid to succeed. So failure is a wonderful thing now, isn't it? You know, you learn from failure. Failure is a good thing, because if you don't let it defeat you, which most people do, use it as a stepping stone to greatness, because that's what you have to do. Everything you do in your life is not going to be easy, and failure is going to be always going to be part of it. Use it as a positive instead of a negative, and then you'll have success. And that's why capitalism will always work far better than socialism or communism. Nobody's swimming from Key West to Cuba, guys. Nobody. They're all coming to America. Nobody's crossing the border in droves to get into Mexico, are they? Why? Gee, I wonder why. If it's so wonderful, why is everybody still wanting to come to America? And then when they come here, why do they want to turn America into the countries that they left?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The State of the Union address. What were your thoughts on that, and how people on the opposite side of the aisle didn't clap or applaud the end, the end for abortion? But, you know, they stood up because the president said that, you know, now more than ever, we have more women in Congress. They were all about that. But not anything about saving the life of an innocent child. What are your thoughts on that?
We know where they stand. I said they're the culture of death. They love death. It's the power. It's a sickness. It's a complete sickness. I'll give a little clap to Nancy Pelosi then too. It's just amazing to me that all the things Trump has done, the list goes on forever what he's done compared to what Obama did. But Obama, look, bright man. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly the team behind him. He wanted to rip America apart. He doesn't like America. I mean, he's just as big a racist as anybody else is. You know, they think it's a one-way street. It's not a one-way street. It goes both ways. I'm all for equality. I'm all for people working hard. I'm all for my taxes being used to help people that really and truly need help. We all know that there's a lot of people that are living off the government. Are people that are perfectly fine to work, they just given up on it. Yeah. They decided they just don't feel like working. Get to work. Not everything's going to be easy. I'm a 13-year overnight success in Hollywood. I had every job in the book to pay my rent, to buy my food, to do my own things. My dad, who was a liberal, my mom and dad were Hubert Humphrey, Walter Mondale Democrats. But what they taught all five of his kids growing up is hard work. Don't expect handouts. You work and you work and you work. I started in second grade. I started a paper route. 9 years old, and I delivered 80 newspapers 6 days a week for 8 years. I got out of bed at 4:30 in the morning and delivered these papers in the Minnesota winters, all right? I learned what it means to make a dollar, what it means to work hard, what it means to accept failure. I talked earlier, I used to caddy at this private country club, and they're all very wealthy people around me. And I didn't grow up any wealth. My dad was a school teacher, okay? My clothes are hand-me-down clothes from my older brothers. But I never felt without, because I had parents that cared, parents that loved me. In the African-American community, what do we have? We have 80% of kids being raised without a father. Without a father. And what happens in that community? You talk about Black Lives Matter. Well, maybe they should look at the statistics as well to jump on that road. You take Chicago, for instance. There's over 4,000 shootings in 2016 alone. Less than 1% involved the police. 99% involved citizens on citizens, mostly gang members shooting other gang members or innocent people getting shot. Where do they talk about that? Where was Obama, who has Chicago as his adopted city, helping at all to fight the crime rate in Chicago? Look at Detroit, you know, 70 years of socialism. What happened to that city? It doesn't work, people. It doesn't work. It sounds great on paper, but we're not all the same. And all socialism and communism does, if it's applied and forced on people, after generation to generation, it squashes any sort of motivation, squashes any sort of drive, squashes any sort of self-esteem and hope and faith. It just makes everybody miserable and unhappy. So, you know, to me, it's like, yeah, capitalism is still the way to go. And I will always fight for that. It's always been that way. I used to quiz my dad on different subjects. And I said, Dad, you say you're a Democrat, but most of these things that you agree with me, I make you a conservative. You just think you are. Well, he's a John F. Kennedy Democrat. Listen to John F. Kennedy in 1960, his inauguration speech. JFK all the way. Okay. His inauguration speech makes him a Republican today. Listen to that speech. He talks about anybody coming after our allies, what we will do, what we will retaliate. He's, what is his famous quote on his, on his, on his gravesite is, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's not a Democrat today.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And you know, a lot of this, it's interesting to see how far the Democratic Party has gone in such a short amount of time. And I think you really hit the nail on the head with this idea about just hard work, good, healthy competition. That's been lost to people on the left. And it's more about, you know, make things easier for everybody. And, I, you know, easier isn't always better. A lot of times easier is like the worst path to take. And I think this abortion thing is kind of the same deal because, you know, like we talked about a minute ago, 98-99% of all abortions, it is used as just the birth control method. You know, we don't teach people by and large in this country anymore to take responsibility for your own actions. You know, if look, I'm all about women's health and all that, but that, it's never really about that. It's about convenience. And if in the majority of cases, if the woman makes a mistake or, you know, sleeps with somebody, even if the guy books, he shouldn't do that. You know, the guy should stick around. But even if he leaves, well, it's still the mother's responsibility. Killing another person is not an option in any other scenario. Why would it be in this one? Now, there's also been some recent news. We're hearing about some states that are approving abortion for any and all reasons. You know, we hear this just outright lie about, you know, well, if it's, you need a late-term abortion if it's for the health of the mother. If the mother's life is at risk, that never happens. They would just, it would just be a premature baby at that point, maybe delivered by C-section. But either way, abortion or not, at that point you still have to deliver the baby. But so you still, we're hearing about this in a lot of states, but we're also hearing of some, which this is encouraging, who are trying to end abortion. You know, there's through like the heartbeat bill or things like that. I mean, I personally don't think that goes far enough. I think any and all abortion should be abolished, but you know, I'll take anything we can get. Do you see more, in your experience, do you see more of America wanting to end abortion altogether, or do you see more of Americans wanting to allow it for any reason? Where do you think, just generally speaking, the American people fall on this issue?
Well, I think more and more Americans are becoming more pro-life.
Yeah.
You get movies out there like the Gosnell movie, and you got Roe v. Wade coming up soon. I was supposed to be in both those movies. I had things going on at the same time, which was frustrating for me not to be in those movies. But, you know, they come out and all they do, like Roe v. Wade, I mean, the Gosnell story comes out and just really shows you what were the facts behind the case against Gosnell and all the babies that he aborted. So it's not saying you better believe this way or this way. It just shows you, here, make your own choice. And a lot of people were blown away by that, and they changed their minds. I'm probably, you know, the last person to say I'm a perfect person, because I'm certainly not. I've done dumb things, made mistakes in my life too. But I think we need to educate people more. I think a lot of people, all they do is hear sound bites. They get their news from these horrible talk show hosts at night now. I mean, bring back Johnny Carson, please. I mean, the last great talk show host was Jay Leno in my book. So, you know, you guys are supposed to be entertainment. Now they're all turning into news programs, just like on CNN or MSNBC. So to me, there needs to be a higher level of education, and educate them on both sides of the issue instead of just the one side. Because really all they're getting in our public schools right now is the one side. They're not getting the side about, is this murder? Is it not murder? It's a life. Is it not life? Well, of course, it's a life. I mean, like I said, if there's a heartbeat, then what is it? If it's not a life, then what is that? What are you going to call it? And, you know, we've had plenty of pictures taken of the different, each month of a child's progression. And all you got to do is look at that. And you're going, well, I see arms and legs and feet and fingers and hands. And I see a head and I see nose. And I mean, okay, not a human. Okay. It's just, it's weird that we decided to play God the way we've been doing this. And to me, it once again just comes down to educate. We need to educate. We need people to understand what they're doing.
I agree. You know, quick comment there. When I was pregnant, my 5-year-old, they told me to abort him when I was about 19 weeks along. I was almost 20 weeks along, because apparently when I had my scan to find out the sex of the child, I had a very common condition called marginal previa, which could be life-threatening because I could hemorrhage and his life was in danger, mine was. I continued to carry him I'm not aborting my baby for something that is, you know, I went to school, I studied medicine. I know that it's common. I know it can be corrected. And it did corrected, but it was one thing after another. You know, all of a sudden I'm measuring too small. He's going to be a preemie. He's going to have all these mental and physical and disabilities. And he's 5 years old and he's fine. I gave birth to him at 39 weeks and 6 days and he was 7 pounds, 10 ounces, but they were encouraging me to kill that child. And they were shocked when I had him. They're like, oh, they were all expecting, because of everything that they've been sent over, this tiny little deformed baby, but he comes out perfectly fine. And, you know, they can be wrong too. And, you know, my husband and I are saying that it was probably because they needed quotas to be met. We were very, very poor at the time. He was fighting to get on, staying on disability because of a rare bone disease that prevented him from being able to work. So I think it was, A, we were poor. They didn't want another baby on Medicaid. And B, maybe, you know, the quotas and things like that. Terrible, but he is perfectly fine. Beautiful child, very intelligent.
That is wonderful, and I know doctors don't like to hear me say this. Doctors do save lives. I mean, but they make mistakes too, and that's why there's a reason why they call it a practice. Yep. They don't know everything. They know a lot more than you and I do, probably. But at the same time, I think second and third opinions are always very important to get, because not always going to be right.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, you recently came out with a film called Let There Be Light. Where can people find out more information about that?
Let There Be Light was in theaters last year for 3 months, and it's out there now on DVD. You go to Walmart, it's a great place to get it. Actually, Christian bookstores will get it. Amazon streaming as well. It's a wonderful story. It's about hope and light and redemption and faith, and it'll make you laugh and make you cry. And I hope people will check it out. Go to lettherebelightmovie.com. I also did a wonderful movie called God's Not Dead. They can pick that one up. And What If is another great movie. I've got 5 movies coming out this year. Another one I directed Let There Be Light. I directed one that's in post-production right now, and that's called Miracle in East Texas. It's more of a comedy, but it's got a faith element to it, but it's not like in your face about it. So it's agnostics and atheists can go enjoy this one too. But it's based on a true story set in 1930 about two con men that used to, they would woo widows out of their money in Oklahoma and Texas on fake oil wells, but then they actually strike oil. So it's a true story. And we got John Ratzenberger's in it, Lou Gossett Jr.'s in it, Tyler Mayne from the X-Men movies is in it. And then I have my first movie coming out of those 5 this year opens the 4th of July week. It's called One Nation Under God. It's about bringing that phrase back into the schoolrooms again when they do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, that's fantastic. When that comes out, if you're open for it, we'll have to have you back on. That sounds great. Are you involved in any active pro-life movements or speaking events or anything? And if so, where can people go if they want to hear you speak or if they want to invite you to speak?
Well, go to kevinsorbo.net is a great place to go, and then I'll lead you on to my speaking agent from there. Kevinsorbo.net is always a great place to go, and there's a lot of information on their upcoming events. I do a lot of pro-life speaking events. I do a lot of Christian school events. I do a lot of homeschooling events. I'm a pro-homeschooler, and motivational speaking as well. So I got a busy year coming up this year. I got 2 movies lined up, plus a documentary I'm doing. With the amazing man by the name of John Lennox. He's an apologist. He does a lot of debates against famous atheists like Dawkins. So Hitchens has now passed away. But we're just wrapping up a 2-week shoot in Israel and 1 week back up in Oxford with him before we wrap that up. And then, like I said, I got two movies lined up. And one's a post-Civil War movie we're shooting up in Calgary, up in Canada. So got a busy year coming up.
That is awesome. Wow, that's really exciting. Very cool. So if there's anything you want anybody to take away, the audience to take away from this interview today, what would that be? What's the most important thing you want them to take away from this?
You know, from the abortion issue, please think about it. Think about what actually happens, what actually goes on in that room with those doctors and what they're doing. And look at, I know there are videos out there that have animated videos. They're horrific to watch even in themselves. But if you really educate yourself on this issue and really look at it, instead of just dealing with emotion, because a lot of times that's all you get from the left. It's just they deal with emotion. They don't like facts. They don't like statistics. They don't like truth. They hate the truth. All they want to deal is they care more than the rest of us. Well, if you care more than the rest of us, then care about that human life inside the body of that woman who's thinking about having that child murdered, because that's what it is. It's simple and plain murder. And we treat it so casually now. It's decades of just beating us over the head with it in movies and television. Politics downstream of culture. Who runs culture? Hollywood. So they're the ones who put these messages out there all the time. That's why, you know, they don't look at me anymore to hire. If it wasn't for independent movies, I wouldn't have a career anymore. And they're the ones the most screaming for tolerance. And once again, tolerance is a one-way street. They have zero tolerance for anybody who has a disagreeing opinion. I don't get mad if people have a differing opinion. I might get sad for them, and I'm happy to have a discussion with them. But when they're screaming, and all they do is scream. Like if I can yell louder than you, then I'm more right than you. It doesn't work that way. Let's have a discussion about this face to face and talk about it in a way that, you know what, change my mind. I won't try to change your mind. I will just give you facts is what I'll do. I'll just give you truth, and you can take it from there. But you want to live in your life of having it only your way and nobody else's way, then I don't know what to say to you. It's an argument that I'll never win, but I'm willing to have a debate if you want to have a civil one.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. It kind of reminds me of something my good friend Andrew Klavan once said is 70 to 80% of what people say, it's to convince you that they're a good person. And I swear, when you listen to people with that in mind, it's really true. I would say it's probably more like 90-95%. But what was so interesting about that is I kind of had to look at how I speak to people, and I kind of had to realize, you know, I do some of that too. And that's why facts are the most important thing when dealing with, a difference of opinion or something like that. You know, we're Christians, so we're always talking to, you know, other people about differences of opinions and stuff. And, you know, it can get heated, not really on our end, but it still can get heated. And so, the facts are the most important things. I really appreciate that. Well, Kevin, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll have to have you back on again sometime. And just thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
No worries. All right, guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk down the road.
All right. Sounds good. Hang on the line just a minute. We'll close this out here. So everybody, make sure you subscribe. Click the bell for notifications. And if YouTube still doesn't notify you, hey, just check back every day. You're going to get a new video on this channel every single day. Until next time, thank you all for watching. Take care and God bless.